and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
Just make your plan, God, happen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you both. Thank you so much. So yeah, scan the QR code. Make Yana feel like she can lean on us, as the song says. Cool, guys. Are you good? Yes. Cool. We're starting, as I said, courageous prayers, and it's the prayers that require some action. There is an action involved. It's not passive prayers. But before we're going to start talking about courageous prayers, just a few things about the prayer itself. It's a biblical principle, right? So as you ought to read the Bible, you ought to fast. You, if you're Christianal, I don't know what's the word. My English is not working today. I am so sorry. Yeah, if you are Christian, you're praying, right? This is a lifestyle. And I think that as many of other biblical principles, we sometimes neglect it. And I think just a few reasons based on my own experience why I neglected it, or why I can even now just forget about this in all of the business that, you know, we live in, and etc. So one of the things is that you can believe that prayer is actually not powerful, like prayer does not do anything, right? I'm not going to even give you some proofs or anything. I'll just point you to Passy. She's intercessor. If you want to talk about prayer and how powerful it is, go talk to her. It's her favorite topic. I mentioned the prayer that we will be preaching on, courageous prayer. She started jumping today. So, but for real, prayer is a weapon, right? It's the tactics of the enemy to make us believe that while we pray, we don't do anything. But it's such a powerful weapon. There is a power in the name of Jesus, and we need to remember this and reach for it. Sometimes you don't know how to pray or what to pray for. And I believe that there is no right or wrong way to pray. Sometimes you're praying, you're declaring things, you're fighting, you know, you feel like the warrior and just slaying the demons. But sometimes it's just you're so exhausted and you're so just hurt that all you can say is just, God, help me, right? And He will come through and He will comfort you. And I believe that you can pray anything. For me personally, I was for a long time afraid to pray something that is not according to the will of God. Hence, I just decided not to pray at all. And then it's really not how it's supposed to work, because if you come to a prayer, what you do, and you are seeking the will of God, right? You're not coming to pray for God to change His mind and convince Him of the things that you want to receive from Him. No, you're coming into His presence and pray and receive what His plans for your life, what is His will for your life. And I was remembering the story of David and Bathsheba. When David sinned, God sent Nathan to David, right? And he said, and Nathan rebuked David and said that because you have sinned, your child would die. And it's a hard thing to hear, right? And what David did after this, he went into the prayer. He fasted for 7 nights. He was constantly just in this miserable state, right, praying, weeping before God. And once he received the news that his child has passed away, he stood up, he washed himself, he went and worshiped God, still no matter the consequence. He worshiped the God, then he ate, and people around him were wondering why were you behaving so miserable and praying when your child was still alive, but now that he is dead, you're acting like everything is fine. And David said and responded, I was thinking that God, by his grace and his mercy and his compassion, could show me this, could spare the life of my son. But now that I know that the son is dead, like, I can keep on living, right? He went and comforted his wife. But it's a powerful story. And I love that David knew the will of God yet, but he still had the courage to say that I know who God is, and I will pray. I will just pour my heart into God. And no matter what the answer will be, I will still worship him. I will still praise him. So you can pray anything, and you can pray however you want, but let God be the God. Let him be in control. Remember who he is. Remember that he is, just leading you, and his will is for your life is good. Some of us can think that prayers are boring. Let's be honest. Sometimes it can feel a bit awkward. And you can imagine spending your 5 minutes in a better way. I don't know, scrolling through Instagram, snacking, maybe just reading something. But perhaps it was boring for you because you were engaging in monologue when you were supposed to engage in dialogue. You talk and you listen. You talk and you listen. And when you listen and hear something, you'll understand that this is worth more than gold, worth more than anything, right? His thoughts are precious. And when God speaks, there is healing, there is a clarity, and there is a peace. Listen to this. One of the other examples or option why we don't pray sometimes, it's because your prayers are always based on your view of God's character. And how you pray shows what you really believe. So if you believe he's out to get you, he can do anything and everything to you, disregarding your own feelings, your own plans, your own hopes, your own dreams, then you will not ask him to be involved in your life. You will hold back. You will say, no, I got it. I know better, right? If you believe that he's out to take from you and spoil things for you, you will probably never pray the prayer, let your will be done in my life, because you will think that your will is better, your plan is better than his. Or you think that you pray the wrong prayers, right, and God will punish you. But if you are convinced he has only the best for you, you will pray all kinds of prayers that welcome his involvement and changes he wants to bring. Amen? 7 courageous prayers. We will be covering 7 courageous prayers together. And first one that I'm going to be talking today is Search Me. And it's a courageous prayer because it involves a change in our lives. And I'm going to be reading from Psalm 139, verses 23-24. It says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. I'm going to read it one more time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. One of the other reasons why this is considered a courageous prayer, because this prayer requires humility and submission. You can't and you won't pray this prayer if you think that you are perfect or everything is great about you, that you are the kindest, the greatest person ever be alive, and all of the others are the problems. You would probably pray something, change them or make them more like me. But if you humbled before God, you will seek, why does it bother me so much? Where, God, is your heart in it? How does it affect me? What can I change about myself in this situation? How can I relate to this person more in how you would relate to him, right? Because you cannot change the other people, but you can change yourself. This is your responsibility. And God will speak in healing in the truth. I love that David didn't say about search me and show me my sins, because he knew that they were plenty, right? Sins. And we know that the stuff we have done wrong and do wrong, and we are very thankful that because of Jesus, we are already forgiven. He was asking God to show him his heart and ways. He was asking if there's anything hurtful in him that needs to be changed. And I think this is such a beautiful prayer, because it shows the interest of in David of other people, of well-being of other people, of the kingdom of God. He wanted God to confront him and show him what is an obstacle in him, what can be better, rather than defending his current state, rather than saying, well, it's who I am and that's it. He was interested in working on himself and letting the Holy Spirit change him. My friend loves to say about the church, you can come as you are, but you don't have to stay as you are. When you come, you're welcome with everything that you carry. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, then you will see how he's changing you. Then you will see that the fruits are being produced in your life, because Holy Spirit is there working. And when I'm saying about, you know, doing and being better, or like even pray this prayer, it's never about you doing this on your own. It's with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I trust you. I don't have the right words to explain how it works, but once you experience it, you will understand it. Holy Spirit can change something in an instant moment. In one moment, he can make you a different person. I experienced it. I don't know how it happened, but I just opened myself to the truth, was vulnerable with God. Holy Spirit came and changed something. There is a power in the name of Jesus. I love that David prayed about anxious thoughts, because we have lots of them. What are you worried about in your life? You don't have to answer. That's okay. I saw so fear in people's eyes, like, what? But the reason why I'm asking, because the area where you worry the most is the area where you trust God the least. And you can think that God just doesn't care for these things, or you think you can do it on your own, or whatever the reasons you have, but you in the state of anxiety and thinking that something will not happen, or something will happen and it will destroy my life. And this is the thing that you need to open up before God and say, why? Why do I worry? God has it. God has it in under control. Maybe you're worried because, and to pray this prayer, right? Reveal my anxious thoughts, because you know that God will ask you to do something, because there are sometimes certain responsibilities that we don't want to take up on ourselves, to be responsible for our own life, our career, our families. But he is good and he wants the best for you. Here's the question, another question. I have a lot of questions today. How would people say you are? What are your ways? Have you ever asked your friends, is there anything about how I am that isn't helpful? Is there something in my character and way of being that works against me? Are my ways prevent me from moving forwards? Do you think I can do anything differently to improve this or that area of my life? And this prayer is like that, but you are asking God, And there is a benefit on it because God cannot lie to you. And he also loves you the most. He cannot flatter you. And he will tell you the truth, but he will tell it in love. And I love that if you read through Psalm 139, you will see that David really knew who God is. He was telling, you made me in my mother's womb. You know when I lay down and I wait, when I wake up. You know me, God. He had this, you know, feeling and understanding that God wants the best for him. He has praised him. God, I praise you because I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. And that led him to pray this prayer, search me because I trust you. I trust that you will not tell me anything harmful for me, but you will say something that can be changed in my life, but for my good. He said in verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. His thoughts are precious, and David knew it. When we pray, we have to listen of what God has to say. And one of the ways to hear his voice, right, is through the word of God. Speak to me from your word in response to my prayer. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If we want to know if there is a way in us that is godly or needs some changes, allow the word to show you. Some say that it's not we don't read the Bible, but rather the Bible reads us. So when you're reading it, something is prompting you, something is showing you, something is speaking to you, right, about your own character, your own life. When we started Bible studies here after the COVID, how we were operating as leaders of Bible studies, we were just asking three questions ourselves. What does this passage talk about in general, like description of it? What does this passage talk about God? And then what does this passage talk to you, about you? How can you relate to this? What are the changes that you need to make in your life based on this passage, based on what you learn about God today? And we see that God has made us and he value us, right? We see it from the first pages of the Bible. We see that we're unique and gifted. We see that God says about us who we really are. And we became, while we're reading, we became aware of issues and areas that God is highlighting in our life. See where we're really at. And when we're vulnerable in front of him, he looks at us with such grace, love, and mercy. And we need to be aligned with the word, bring adjustment based on what God is saying to us. James 1:23-24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. If you read and you don't practice, if you read and forget about what you just read, and you don't practice it in your life, you're forgetting who you are, how you look like, who you're supposed to be, right? You are carriers of the image of Christ. God's word is a plumb line. And if you don't know what a plumb line is, that's okay. I didn't know either. It's from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, what do you see, Amos? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I'm about to put a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. So a plumb line is used by different workmen to ensure the work is straight and being properly built. I'm looking at George. He's just nodding his head that I got it correctly. English is not my first language. and they basically test their work against the reading given and make adjustment accordingly, right? And God is a builder too. He's building our lives. He's building his kingdom and uses a plumb line to set the standard. And he was telling in this passage that something is not right here in my nation, right? So I will bring the one, I will bring the word that will determine what is right and what is wrong. And when you think about your life and decisions you're making, I don't want you to compare yourself to another human being, even if it's Christian, and saying, well, that's Christian is doing it, so I think that's okay. No, we have to align ourselves with the law of God, with the example of Jesus. And when we see ourselves side by side with Jesus, we can see where we need to change our ways. We will see what we need to change in our lives. God's word is a refining fire and a hammer. It's from the Bible. I did not make that up. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like hammer which shatters a rock? When God starts speaking to us through his word, sometimes it can feel like he's turning the heat up, right? You read something and you're like, ooh, you know, that's good stuff. Or you read and you're like, oh, I don't want to keep on reading. I know what's coming. And it's like turning the heat in the water, right? And it comes to boil and it purifies it. God's word is behaving like this because it will burn away the attitudes, the behaviors, the ways that we were talking about, right? The ways that you bring in everything that you do, and he will purify it. The intended result is that what is good and healthier remains, and the workmanship of Jesus is clear for all to see. It can also be like a hammer as well, because there are the ways, the attitudes we have carried for a long time, right? And they've become hardened in us. And you need a hammer to break it, and it will take time. Maybe it will not happen instantly, but it will take time. It will take repeating the one verse that God gave you over and over again. It will take pray the same prayer over and over again, because we all carry something from the past, right? There are so many things that influenced us, the family, the country, the friends that we raised, we grew up with. But your past didn't define who you are. And I feel like some of you need to hear this. Your past doesn't define who you are. It made you who you are. But with God, you can move forward. With God, you can say that there is a freedom. He's calling me higher, like we were singing, right? You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay how you are, because God is moving you forward. Can I ask worship team to come up? God is working on us all. Are we willing to let him have his way? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." In earlier verses, as I said, in Psalm 139, David was talking about just that he knew God, right? He knew what God has done for him. And then he was talking to him about his enemies. And David said, "I have nothing but hatred for them." In verse 22, he says, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed." What David is saying here, yes, other people have their faults. Yes, there are a lot of enemies, but God, I do too. I carry something. I carry the hurtful ways. And it's David who was saying this, right? He's the man after God's heart. And he was vulnerable enough to come to him and say, search me, know my heart, know my anxious thoughts, because I wanna trust you more. I wanna know you more. I wanna praise you more. I wanna give you the praise you deserve. So for this next few weeks, as we're gonna be talking about courageous prayers, I want to ask and challenge you to pray this one prayer for the week. So you have 7 days until the next week to pray the prayer, search me. And it does not have to be every day. You can just set your time apart with God for a few minutes, hour, as you wish, and just pray this prayer, search me. Pray before reading the word. Ask Holy Spirit to help you. It's as simple like this. Holy Spirit, I'm going to be reading the word. Please highlight the things that you want to tell me. Please share something with me personal for my own life. Because this is relationship, right? This is just you're talking to your Father. Ask questions. Listen. Pray if God is asking you to pray something. Don't fall into a trap of busyness or being distracted by so many different things. Don't forget that there is a God who loves you, who wants to engage in conversations with you, who wants to heal your heart, move you forward, purify you, show a new level of good in you, show something new inside of you. He wants to pursue you. He wants to woo you. There is a living God, and we can trust him with prayers. With this courageous prayer, search me. Can I ask you to stand? We're going to go into the worship again as a response. As I said, I felt a lot of just burdens here when we were worshiping, and I don't know what some people are going through, and it felt weird to talk about search me prayer, but the reality is really when we're going through something, God is doing a bigger work on the background and bigger and deeper work inside of you. And let just be the hope and the comfort that you would need to receive today. God, we come before you, Jesus. First, I just want to repent personally that sometimes I neglect the prayer, that sometimes I neglect to come to you and let you perform the surgeries on my heart. Open up my heart, hiding something from you as if you would destroy something. God, I'm just breaking any lies right now in my head and in people's head right now in Jesus' name that can be, keep us away from you, God. Keep us away from coming to you in vulnerability. God, saying that, trusting you that you are working for our good, that you have the best intentions for us. That you're a good shepherd, that you're a good father. God, right now we're just breaking any lies that says differently in Jesus' name. God, and we're saying we want to move forward, God. We want to get rid of any hurtful ways that are in us that are not from you, God. Thank you for accepting us as we are and seeing us through the eyes of Jesus. God, but our desire is to become more and more like you, Jesus, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to be purified by your word, God. God, we say no to passive prayers. We say no to passive faith. God, we wanted to leave out what we believe in. We're gonna see the work of your hands in our life, God. We want to see the fruits of the Spirit grow, God. and I'm praying in my just because I'm a fleshly person, God, I'm praying that I will not take this task and do it myself, God. Holy Spirit, I'm praying that you will protect us from doing this on our own strength. But rather, Holy Spirit, work with us, help us. We rely on your provisions. We rely on your goodness. God, and I'm praying for testimonies that will come out of it, God. I'm praying that more and more people in this church will be saying, I don't know how, but somehow God changed me in one moment. I don't know how, but somehow I believed this lie my whole life, but in one instance, Jesus changed it. I'm praying for testimonies like this, God. I'm urging, God, that we will hear it more and more in this church, God, as we open in our hearts and come into you, God, fully trusting you that you want the best for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.